This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Game Dev Unchained, the number one game development podcast about game development and the lifestyle thereof. I'm your host, Brandon Pham, and with me, a special guest, Daniel. How are you doing, Daniel?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Your sound is coming through, so I am happy with that. This is a special episode. It's an art boost where we kind of dig into our guest's special project to look at the processes, the techniques, the workflows that will be helpful for you listeners and viewers out there on your own projects, personal and professionally. Daniel, this is part of the podcast before we get into it, where I ask you, our guests, to talk about yourself a bit, a little bit about your past, present, and future.
Well, I am Daniel Martinger from Sweden, and I studied game art for 3 years at a very small school. It was a private school because I didn't get into the better one in Sweden.
which is quote unquote, like, what is this better one in Sweden? Is it like well known around the world?
That's
future game.
To the industry, so I just tried it out.
Well, did you ever want to go in media and animation, movies or games? Has always been your thing?
I mean, I was drawing a lot when I was a kid, and even when I got older, but I never thought about using that talent in the work, because I was thinking like, now if you chose art as a career, you're not going to get anywhere. So so I was working in healthcare and stuff, but then I always loved games, and I'm playing a lot of games in my free time. But then I found like a YouTube video on people like sculpting stuff and painting, and I was like, maybe I should try that out.
That's great, man. So yeah, were you still in doing 3D and all that stuff in the medical field, or was it completely a different? You were
no
a doctor or something.
That was like helping old people, you know, giving them food and stuff.
Wow,
I didn't really
change in career then. Oh wow.
Yeah, I didn't really know at the time what I wanted to be. But I quit my job, actually, and I told my father that, okay, I'm going to be out of work now. Can you support me? Yeah. And he was like, okay, well, are you going to study? And I was like, yes. So I was sitting at home trying to learn stuff and apply to school. And
it's a solid dad, man. That's amazing.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
And you said you only been doing it for 3 years. All right, I got to switch to you. To what I'm seeing here. So let's kind of look at your work. Like, I came across and found you through ArtStation, and the realism that I saw was, it felt like years and years of experience. And you're telling me you only been at this for 3 years?
No, I was studying 3 years, but I never really went to school. I sat at home and learned by they didn't
Obvious.
Have teachers and stuff all the time. But five years I've been at a company.
Mm-hmm. That's insane, man.
But I have never switched to other companies. I've been at the same place all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about this particular scene. You kind of lean into realism. Have you tried any other style, stylistic, any what games are kind of like your general inspiration?
The thing is, at work, we are right now, we are not doing full realism. It's more like stylized, combined with a bit of realism. We have a trailer out called Metal Hellsinger. It's a beat matching game where you shoot to the music and stuff. So at work, I have done more imaginary stuff. So in my free time, I'm like, okay, maybe I should practice some realism in my free time, because at work I do other kind of stuff, you know. So I'm just practicing stuff like this in my free time. I want to check out this engine. When I saw all the commercials about Lumen and stuff, path tracing.
Yeah, let me show this so the good people out there know. Is this the game?
Yeah. So this like it's different from what I do in my free time.
So what kind of games growing up was a major impact to you where you were starting to consider maybe this could be a career path? I feel like everyone kind of has that one game.
That's hard to choose. I like Battlefield and Resident Evil games.
Okay. All right. Get a good
I
feel for it.
really got impressed of Resident Evil art. The Resident Evil 7, I think. It's hard to choose just one game.
Yeah. But the Resident Evil series is kind of like something that you grew up loving always.
Oh yeah, that's true. I started playing the first Resident Evil when I was like 6 years old. I played with my brother.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know. And then we bought Resident Evil 2 and 3 and 4, you know.
Yeah, like I've been like Resident Evil have always been such a trendsetter. Starting with Resident Evil 4, it created the whole Gears of War third person action over the shoulder genre basically. With 7, it kind of really flipped, what a typical Resident Evil game is, really leaning into it. That's the one with the inside the house and everything, right? That got really creepy. And then the remakes lately have been amazing. All the remakes
Remake.
that, yeah, the Resident
Oh,
1,
yeah.
2, 3 remake that they made for now gen has been extraordinary. So I can definitely now see where where you at least your person are like I can definitely see where how it can live in those type of environments if happy.
I created like a horror inspired scene in Unity first, but yeah, that scene was pretty dark and stuff. And when I started this, I was like, no, I want a lot of light in my scene this time. And I actually started this in Unity at first, but I switched to Unreal. Was going to be a part of the house, but more destroyed. But then I changed direction entirely.
Is there a well, it seems like now you're more into Unreal as an environment artist, as a 3D artist. Have you been finding it easier to use, funner to use? What is one of the key differences that you prefer one engine over the other?
Well, in school and at work, we have been using Unity, and I've been working with Unity so long, so I thought that in my free time I need to learn some new stuff. So switching engine, it's good for me to evolve. And also, when Unreal 5 came out, I got more interested when I saw all the new tech stuff. Yeah, I really like the this engine. It seems very user friendly for artists, 3D artists.
So let's talk about this scene here. Is this based on any reference? Is this kind of like, what's the inspiration behind this particular scene?
Well, I found a picture before when I want and knew I wanted to create a basement type. I found this picture, and I liked when the light was coming into the room like this. I wanted to push lighting because of my project before was darker, you know, and then Unreal and stuff. So the plan at first was to make it more like this, like more rough and more kind of destroyed. But I didn't really have the time. I had to think about time, the time frame. I didn't want to spend too many months on this project. So I transformed it a bit and looked at other references or wood carpentry places.
Do you find time boxing is something that you learn over time to kind of finish anything? Or is this something you developed on personal projects?
Yeah, you really developed that over time. I mean, in the beginning when I started in the game industry, I always overscoped stuff like, oh, I could do this in 3 days, but I had no idea. So yeah, you learn over time. I mean, my first project in Unity, it was really overscoped. I wanted to create the whole villa. I mean, the whole house, a bedroom, kitchen, and everything. But I realized that if I'm going to do it this realistic, it's going to take a lot of time, and maybe I get tired of it and get stuck in the project too long.
Is there a particular time frame where it keeps your interest? Like you're like 2 months is as long as I want to spend on a side project. What is
I
that
mean,
time?
it depends on what the project is. In this project, I wanted to, because it was my first time using Unreal, then I thought like, okay, I should only use like base elements like metals, wood, and maybe glass somewhere, and yeah, basic stuff just to go over the basic material types. So I didn't want to get into like complex shaders and crystals or ice, and with ice and crystal stuff you need to know more about the shader editor and stuff. So I want to start pretty basic. I mean, it's wood and bricks, stone, metals, and my next project will be a bigger project. So there I know I'm going to sit with it maybe 6 months.
How long did this one take, the one that we're looking at right now?
Well, it was after work. So after work from time to time in 3 months maybe. I started this the Christmas 2021. So maybe if I did this full time, my personal projects, it's less time.
You have a very interesting approach. So you think about the materials first before you block anything down. So when you look at the references, you think about kind of more like the end
Well,
result.
in this particular project, I had to, I need to know what I am going to focus on. I mean, I didn't want anything to be too complicated, you know, because I mean, I didn't even know Unreal's UI when I started this. I was like just pressing buttons and watching tutorials to learn. So yeah, so I kept it small. It was basically this shot, and behind this it's like empty.
Do you mind flying around so we can see the guts behind the magic?
The thing is, I need to warn You know, because the project is not set up for Lumen, so it's pretty broken in Lumen right now. But I can switch Lumen if you want, but just so you know, it's going to look ugly.
It's okay. I think we all know
Can turn on
the
a
tricks.
spotlight inside here too. So a lot of stuff is I have been experimenting a lot. So I mean, behind you see it's just empty.
It's cool. My God, details. I love the little,
The
word carvings that you got lying around. Are those decals, or how did you build those little?
No, I don't have to think about using decals and stuff like that because I this is not going to be optimized or anything, so these are like meshes.
Oh, no
It
wonder they
could
look so
be
good. I was like, oh my God, they look so good.
it could easily be like alpha painted, I mean, let's see.
How did you go about making them so random? Did you use some kind of physics simulation, or how did you lay it out piece by piece like that? Oh, okay. Little
No, I've been,
groups.
yeah, I've been laying out pieces.
Oh my God. More appreciation.
I mean that if this was a game, I would need to optimize this a lot. But why do I have? I don't have to think about that because this is just going to be art, so I can just push it.
Usually you start from there anyways before you optimize. It's like, how do I make it look this good with some cheats,
Yeah.
So what was the biggest challenge of this that didn't completely stop you, but made you kind of at least stop to figure things out that you're not used to? Besides the engine.
I'm not sure. I was pretty confident. I mean, I was pretty confident creating the assets and everything. So it was really more about question marks about the engine and stuff.
How
I
confident you
do.
are now after this project, learning more about the engine and getting more familiar.
I haven't had so much time with the engine since this project. I have started a new project, but it's not that far yet. I'm still learning and doing it when I have time for it. At work, I'm used to a lot of different types of assets, and I've done a very much very many different types of assets, so I pretty much always know how to do stuff. So I'm confident there.
In terms of texturing, what is it, substance, or like what's your preferred method
Yes,
here?
it's a Substance Painter. I can show you some stuff if you want.
Yes, please. Were
You
these
can take
props kind
the
of set up one-to-one unique texturing, or did you end up using mask and
I mean, they are unique textured in the Substance Painter, and also some of the assets have been through a sculpting process. So, like this workbench,
Oh
I
my God,
sculpted.
you're 100% sculpted. That's good.
Yes, so it like scratches and stuff. And
Do you 100% start in ZBrush, or do you bring it from a Maya or Blender or like a
I
block out?
usually do the I block out in Maya, and then I develop the shapes a bit more in Maya, and then I can take it to ZBrush. It depends what I do. I mean, if I would create a statue or something, yeah, that's very complex, of a human character or something, then I start in the ZBrush directly. But this I had to plan, like I had to check how this was built, you know. I have no idea how a workbench is built, so I found this picture and just tried to guess. I mean, behind it, I didn't have to think so much because it's not going to be visible. So I made like pieces. This piece, for example, I could use here, where this box is. And here I made two planks, and I could just duplicate those because it's got two sides.
With the wood fiber and grain, like, were you using alphas? Did you hand sculpt it? Like, what were the go-to techniques?
This is like a combination. Sometimes I can use an alpha, placing an alpha somewhere, and then I go and flattening it out and taking the knife and like iterate on it. So it's always a combination by different alphas and shapes, and, but mostly it's on this it's like very much knife stuff.
The knife? Oh, man, I'm like kind of like a couple ZBrush behind, and when that happens, you end up being very behind. The knife is kind of like a new feature in the last two updates, right?
Is it? I don't know.
It feels
We haven't
like
had
it.
it for a long time, I think.
Oh,
But
dude.
there is different types of knives. I mean, here I have a. Okay, now I'm using mouse and keyboard, but
Are you a Cintiq guy or a Wacom guy, usually?
oh, you mean
Yeah, what's
you
your
said
setup?
Wacom, you said Wacom, right?
Yeah, do you use the tablet or do you draw right onto the monitor?
No, it's a Wacom tablet. I didn't know how to pronounce the Wacom. I say Wacom in Swedish.
I might be pronouncing it wrong too. I have no idea. Okay, so yeah.
I mean, can it's always combination between like five brushes all the time, like to achieve this. Maybe you place an alpha somewhere, and that alpha maybe gives you some
Indication.
inspiration, yeah, indication, and you like smoothing it out. You take the knife, and you go back and forth until it feels good.
Like,
I
I've
mean,
always go ahead.
I kind of, I mean, all these assets are pretty rushed, actually. I mean,
They look good to me,
I,
man. Like, I
yeah.
always when everyone's trying to always like kind of blunt the edges, either wood or metal or whatever, I tend to overdo it. Like, there's always like this language you're trying to kind of keep with when you're kind of beveling edges and stuff. In ZBrush,
Yeah.
do you base it off that feeling and in reference? It seems like you've done it for a while, so you're kind of comfortable.
Yeah, I am. Every task I get is like Maya, ZBrush, Substance Painter. And I've done a lot of stuff. I can't just upload it yet because we need to release the game first.
Of course.
This took a long time.
What are your thoughts about the Substance just released their 3D modeler? It's supposed to blend in VR sculpting with 3D modeling. Have you ever played with VR sculpting before?
No, I haven't. I don't have a VR headset, so.
Any interest in that? Being able to kind of whip around these things with a VR headset?
I mean, it would be cool to have one, but I haven't thought about it. But maybe if I get some money over, I can buy it, try it
right.
out.
I'll get the listeners to send some money your way.
Well,
So we're looking at Substance right now. So how what's your process in Substance usually? Laying down the base and
I don't think I can do a detailed breakdown about this because it's very messy files. I
yeah, of
didn't
course. Yeah.
I didn't really expect to present this. So,
Oh, no need. Just like a overview is fine.
and it's a lot of layers with like dirt and cracks. I can use a generator sometimes to get help filling cracks with
Yeah.
dirt, and then I can mask it out where I want it because I don't want it to be everywhere. Because then it just looks weird if every single edge gets a color. But this was I mean, it was going to be very messy,
Yeah.
and it had to look like someone have worked on it, you know.
Right.
So when I sculpted this, it almost felt like I was working on it myself, you know, creating cracks. Like, now I'm taking my knife, and now I'm taking my hammer, and yeah.
What's your main advice for those who are starting to, texture wood in particular? There's so many ways to do it wrong, and you might not know it yet. It just feels wrong when you zoom out. It's like, oh, it might be overdoing it. What have you found to work for you when texturing and sculpting these things to make it feel natural but not overdo it?
Well, it depends. It's actually wood is something I have been struggling with myself. I've always thought like the hardest thing to do is like that wood stuff, but I have like forced myself to try to learn it and try to do stuff with wood.
What's
It's
the main challenge? Yeah.
I mean, if you overdo it, the risk is that it looks almost like rotten wood. I think it's very important to find references of what type of wood do you want. I mean, how old is it? And I mean, this workbench, for example, I think I found some pictures where how they looked as new. And if you're going to sculpt planks and stuff, just find a lot of references of what the type of plank you want to sculpt, and then try to, yeah, do it. I mean, see, there's a lot of like different types of, I mean, this is almost rotten. So in wood, it's you have very many ways to go. It really depends.
Have you ever played around with photogrammetry or any of that? Just finding old wood and trying to take pictures of it and upload it and all that stuff.
Well, I don't have a camera,
Fancy camera.
a good camera, no. So
There
I
is
when I
that Unreal did release like some kind of app, phone app, that allows you to kind of supposedly do a pretty good job transferring some of that stuff. Do you have curiosity in any of that?
Yeah, of course. I mean,
Yeah.
it would be fun. I mean, it would be nice to like travel and like photo scan stuff in the world. But since I don't have a good camera, I have been like, oh, it's no idea of the I shouldn't do this. Or, I mean, it's a bit kind of boring. Take photos with your iPhone and then you
Yeah.
get shitty results.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in the future I have been thinking about buying a fancy camera or something and then try it out. But I really like w when you create stuff yourself. It's a different feeling.
Yeah, it's more intimate.
I mean, if I photo scan something and use it in my scene, I wouldn't feel that I did something good the same way. I mean, here I can feel like, okay, this turned out good, and I did this with my hands. You know, the crafting, I like the crafting.
I struggle. I'm a 3D artist as well. I struggle with sometimes not feeling like a real artist. I feel like for me, I kind of describe myself as an entertainment artist, where like I feel like most I gather references from the internet, but I don't experience. I make levels for a living too, and I don't experience these areas that I'm making, especially if it is based on realism. Like, do you struggle with that at all? Do you ever feel like, oh, it'd be nice to kind of feel these workbenches? Obviously, we're not. It's not as obtainable for a lot of people. It's easier to get an image, but being able to feel, see, take your own pictures, it really does feel like a big part of the process of being an artist that I feel a lot of us don't have usually, or it doesn't matter as much, just to get kind of like the entertainment out. I wonder what your thoughts are about that.
I'm not sure what you mean.
I call it like Google art, right? So anything that we want to create, we experience it through the internet, basically, right? Whereas I think other mediums, like a photographer, right? Other artists, they would go out there and experience these things and be able to kind of express their art from their experience, right? So I always struggle with interpreting art from with other people's experience, because the person who took that reference, upload on the internet, and that's how me and you kind of are able to obtain those and use that to recreate it, right? So I feel like as an artist, we're missing like a good half of that artistic process of gathering and being out there and touching these things that we're creating in 3D, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. That's I mean yeah, I think that too. It would be fun to like go on a trip or something to take your own pictures and references for a
Yeah.
project you plan.
I didn't care as much before the pandemic, and then the pandemic happened. It's like, you know what? I kind of want to be out there and take my own references, and experience these locations and stuff. Yeah.
At Quixel, they are like traveling all over the
Yeah.
world, I guess.
Super jealous of those guys. Yeah. Photogrammetry. Yeah, to me, it's funny, right? Because they're not handcrafting the props, right? As we do from scratch. We're kind of guessing from images what they would look like in 3D and the textural feel from the images. But they're out there actually touching these things, setting them up, taking photos. They don't do any craft. Obviously, it's ready to go. All right, they clean it up. It's very weird, right? Not to have the whole process. Because I'm with you. Like, there is something magical handcrafting these things, and you understand it more, right? I feel with every crack that you put into something, every dent. And it's funny that, with photogrammetry, you do get to go to these locations, you do take these pictures, you do feel them, but then you're not really recreating them. You just, the image is ready to go, you clean it up. Can't have
Yeah, that's
both.
true.
Yeah, it's funny. Because, yeah, like, look at this. This looks awesome, man.
This I just made in Maya and then in Substance Painter.
So how much of an adjustment usually with Substance 3D Viewer is a little, obviously a little different from the Unreal Viewer? How much do you have to go back and forth to kind of make it look right in the final
Right
product?
now, I'm using post effects, a color profile for Unreal.
I see. So it should look the same.
I found this online and I was like, oh, maybe I should try it out. But when I texture stuff, I have stuff already set up in the scene. So I just update it, I export it, and just update it to see how it looks.
How much of a difference without the Unreal Profiler, versus the Unreal scene?
Unreal Profiler. Well, what do you mean?
The profiler that you use in Substance, if you turn that off, how much of a difference does it look?
Let's see.
Oh, yeah.
Mean, it's more a contrast here, but
It's better
can
depth. Yeah.
yeah.
So usually when you block out a scene in Unreal, you kind of get the lighting in there and everything. Do you play around with like base textures just to kind of have some kind of texture on there in Unreal to kind of get a better feel of what the final product could be?
With this scene, I started to white box the space. I wanted to see early how big it was going to be. And even these shelves and stuff, I white boxed. It was just boxes everywhere. And then sometimes I can color code with materials, the boxes, like checking. Like if all these was boxes, and here I have a big box, white box, and box here, etc. I can color code stuff with like materials to see. Okay, here's brown, here's brown, here's brown. Oh, now it's a lot of brown. I need to break it with something. How is the wall going to be? That can't be wood either. No, it's too much wood then. So I was thinking maybe plaster or bricks. And here on the wall at the beginning it was like planks because I made it like it was a handmade workshop, but then I realized it's too much wood still, so maybe some metal I should put here. And yeah, also get some colors in like this red and the green hose. This is like st standard hose in Sweden. I don't know if it's
Yes, yeah.
in other countries. But I mean, getting these type of colors in. And even this tool, I put a blue color on mine just to give some stuff, a bit of color. And
Nice touches. It's good contrast, and it feels very, very realistic the way you set it up. It is interesting how you start within white boxing within Unreal first. I think I'm kind of more used to starting in a 3D program and then importing it in, but Unreal has gotten so much better with its modeling tools. That makes perfect sense that you would block it out in Unreal. Do you export those blockouts? I'm guessing to get the dimensions.
I mean, when I was in the white box, when I was white boxing, I didn't do it for too long. I started in Maya pretty fast after with assigned materials and stuff on the walls,
But do you
with the
export
colors
those?
and.
Yeah, do you export those white boxes from Unreal to Maya to kind of get a rough size and dimension, or do you just leave those in there for composition mostly?
Well, I kind of knew the how many meters it was in Unreal, so I just put those values in Maya and And I made a shell mesh for the whole room. My this brick texture, by the way, it's sculpted in ZBrush. But I placed like modular bricks here on the edges. Because they didn't have, I mean, when the alpha came out, they didn't have tessellation, I think. So I had to tessellate in Maya and stuff, but then I just decided to, I can place modular detailed bricks instead. It's cooler on top of the texture.
Yeah, it's catching the rim light. Super nice. How many times did you go ahead?
Well, I was just going to say these labels. I didn't show them so much, but they are. They're pretty detailed. If you zoom in, I wrote I wrote the text of it. I just found a can online and tried to see what it was written, and had to come up with some fake companies.
Yeah.
But these, I mean, I didn't finish all the assets. I mean, these cans, they are from my earlier project, and I didn't really finish those. I actually wanted to have, like, maybe sculpt some color. So, like, color meshes that I can put here so it looks more rough and a bit more volume. But I was thinking, like, I mean, the scene as a whole, it's pretty nice. So maybe I just release it now. The same with these brushes. They annoy me too, because I was going to update them with real fibers. That would be cooler. This is just baked right now.
Oh, it's just a flat box and textures right now?
Yeah, but a little bit of geometry, so it's not too boxy. But yeah, it would be cooler if it was like fibers, real fibers. Expensive.
Good over here. Can't really tell from this distance, at least.
Yeah, you know, as an artist, you always find stuff all the time.
Yeah,
that bothers you. But when other people see it, they're like, "Holy shit, this looks good!" And I'm like, "What? What does it? Okay, nice.
They look good." So in this room, what took the longest? Was it the workbench?
Didn't take that long. Usually when I create stuff, when I have made an asset and it's done for texturing and it's ZBrushed and everything, I usually wait a bit until I texture it 100%. I often import it, create prefab, and make all the connections. And when I start texturing, I can like drag on a color or some metal, just base materials, just to get out colors and stuff very quick. It's like a second phase of white boxing, but with like temp textures. So everything, when I made everything, the whole scene, the radio and everything, everything got a color and material, but it didn't look good at all. It was just, it was wrong roughness values. It was wrong. Yeah, pretty bad materials. Then I go in after that and really iterate on every substance file and just update it, see how it looks in Unreal, then paint some more, then update it, and yeah, back and forth.
Do you have a previous save of when it was just color coded?
No, that's the thing.
You
Several
don't save
people have
on your
asked
previous.
about
Yeah.
I maybe have some early let's see. I think
Yeah.
it can be deep in the computer somewhere, but I d didn't expect to
You gotta
present
get
this, so.
a VR set, man. Like, you get a VR set, you can walk into this area real quick and take a look at everything. It's really it's a game changer. At least for environment artists like ours, being able to like make something like this and then put on a goggle and within Unreal it's like a click of a button, and you can look around as if you're standing there and you kind of notice certain things that you wouldn't notice on a flat screen. It's very cool. Once you
Yeah,
have the chance, yeah.
that would be cool actually.
Yeah, because like right here you can like go and lean in towards your radio and look at the knobs and as if you're just walking around in this corner.
Yeah.
It really adds, I don't know. To me at least, it was very like next level as an environment artist. Like, wow, I never thought I could be able to do this, to be able to walk around an environment I just made, you know?
Yeah. Well, I have a good space for it here in my apartment. I live
There
in
you
a
go.
one room, small room.
Yeah, there you go.
It would feel like I was inside this workshop.
Yeah, it'd be perfect.
Yeah.
But this looks so good, man. I like it, just the care that you put in the color, in the individual assets. It's amazing how much detail you got on everything.
Thank you.
So, have you ever experimented? And I know at work you're making like a very certain type of style, but sci-fi, any of these other genres that you've been like kind of itching to try, to blend in kind of like this realistic modern scene that you have going on?
Well, I've always wanted to try like sci-fi or fantasy stuff, but time and you
Yeah.
work full time, so and I was thinking about maybe put some more of that in my next project. I don't know. It's very early stage. It's I'm creating a like a church. Statues and stuff,
Oh, wow.
but I was thinking like it's very overscoped and hardcore. It's a lot, so it would be a lot of ornaments and stuff. But that project is because I want to show other skills I have, like organic sculpting and but maybe I mix in something unique there. Think it's going to be a bit destroyed also. Like light coming into a church, moonlight maybe. I don't
Do you
know.
find inspiration in movies more or in games when creating art?
It can be both. I mean, if I'm going to start a new project, I look at references both from films and games and real life pictures. So it's really a combination. And then you find a lot of references, and then you like combine these references in your mind to create your own place out of it. So, I mean, here I had a lot of different types of it. I mean, it's not this, but it's not this either. This is so clean. So, yeah. You create a vision for yourself. by combining pictures and on a mood board. This mood board is really small, actually, because well, the project was pretty small and very straightforward. But if it was an imaginary place or something like that, fantasy, or then I would have like this would be filled by a lot of pictures, like moods and different moods and lightnings and colors and from different movies or games. And, yeah.
Is there a game that's out like for me, right? There's a lot of games that are out right now that are all obviously pretty impressive, but I still go back to kind of Red Dead. And still every time I open up that game in particular, I'm just blown away. Because I'm mentioning Red Dead because this scene gives me a lot of Red Dead vibes, but it's so expansive. It's so crazy what they were able to achieve, those Rockstar guys, but Red Dead especially. Being able to walk into any building and it looks super good. And then being able to kind of ride your horse outside for miles and miles and it looks good too. Like it's still, for me, it's unfathomable for me to kind of create a game like that from the ground up. It's like these are professionals. Like when I look at Cyberpunk and stuff, it's like, yeah, it's cool, I get it, but it doesn't feel so impossible as Red Dead would, because it just takes so many people coordinated to execute on a game like that. Do you have a game in particular that makes you feel that way too, where it's like no matter how many years goes by, you still can open up and you're like, man, I can't believe they made this. Like, how crazy.
Well, I got over 150 hours in Red Dead.
Oh, so all right, you
I
agree with
played
me.
it like two times
Yeah.
on PC and on
I have yet to
PlayStation.
finish the single player, and I just fired up the Red Dead Online for the first time like a couple weeks ago, and like I was like, oh my God, like all these people talking about the metaverse, this and that. It's like, this is the metaverse. I'm riding with strangers with horses out in the Wild West. This is freaking, it's that show. What's that show? Where you go?
Westworld
Westworld. Yeah. This is Westworld. Like some random dude chasing me. I was playing with friends and I was complaining about this one stranger that I met there kept like coming after me, and he was all souped up, had all the best guns, and he would kill me easily every time, and I would respawn, and within seconds he would just hunt me down like a serial killer, and I was like, "What? Why won't this guy leave me alone?" And so I escaped on a train, right? I hitched a ride on a train, I stole it, and I rode for 15 minutes, right, just out west, just keep going. And on the next train station, that guy must have rode his horse all the way to the next town and followed me. He was waiting at the deck for me, and he just knifed me and killed me. I was like, oh my God. It's like I never played online games like that ever, right? I don't think Red Dead Online gets enough recognition for how crazy and ambitious that game was. Single player and multiplayer. Still, to this day, it's like a 5-year-old game, right?
Is it?
Impressive. I feel like it's a pretty old game. Red Dead 2,
Yeah,
let me look it
maybe.
up.
Time goes fast.
Yeah. It was
Well,
released, let's see, 2018. Yeah, 4 years, dude.
Jesus.
4 years. Still impressive.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I mean the reason why I haven't started a sci-fi project is it's like these rough environments, it's something about it. Like Red Dead, the buildings with rough wood and
Yeah. History.
man-made stuff, sci-fi scenes,
It's
it's
pretty
like,
clean usually.
yeah, clean materials and shiny maybe. And if I were to make sci-fi, I would make it maybe
Something
a
old and rugged,
destroyed
yeah.
ship, like aliens have taken over it with
Yeah.
like, yeah, or something broken. Yeah, I like rough scenes or with details, a lot of details.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the scene and it's like, oh my God, this looks like next level Red Dead to me. I could totally see this being in Red Dead.
I mean, now it's rendered in like 5,000 samples or something. It's very low. I could render this in even more samples than I did when I put it out the project, but it took so long time. I mean, I would love to have like four GPUs or something and then work.
If there's a game out there kind of like being developed right now, and this is hypothetical, so hopefully your boss doesn't take this as like a insult. But if there's a game out there that you heard about, you know, that you would love to work on, is there a game like that for you out there? Is it the Resident Evil? Is it the Red Dead? Like what exactly wouldn't you mind working on for 5 years?
Well, I'm not sure actually. I mean, for me, tasks with a lot of variation and different challenges are the most important. Like in some companies, you get hired and then you're stuck with doing rocks for like 10 years or weapons. That's not what I want. I want to do some advanced stuff. Maybe I'm not the guy to hire to like create pipes or cans or stuff like
Like
that.
specialties, yeah.
Yeah, I really like creating like hero props, like maybe like a hero prop for God of War or something. That would be cool. Or like tomb statues or something in Uncharted or to Tomb Raider. That's more the stuff I'm into. So it's hard to pick a company. I mean, where I work right now, I'm doing everything I want to. And it feels really great. So it's a lot of variation with tasks and stuff.
What do you think is your next milestone as an artist, as a 3D artist that you're trying to achieve?
My next milestone.
Because I
Don't.
personally feel like you're able to hit whatever projects you have in your mind. It's gonna look great. Like technique-wise, you're super sound. Like everything looks amazing.
Thank you.
I think if anything, it's just creativity. What is that next level for you that we're in terms of challenges?
Some people are getting like lead roles and stuff like that on companies where they attend on a lot of meetings and you don't craft so much anymore, but you got a lead role and you can decide a lot of decisions. But I don't really like that. I want to be better at what I do. Just be better and better and better. If I lose to crafting, I don't really want to work on a game company. So, I mean, that's what I like. That's why I put so much time into it in even in my free time. I mean, if I work 8 hours a day, I'm still going in to my own project after work because I think that's how fun I think it is to craft stuff and create stuff. So my next milestone is, well, be better and yeah, just be better at the most of stuff, I guess. I mean, it's nice if I would be the guy that people think like. I mean, they want to hire me because they think my stuff is so awesome. I mean, I guess that's my next milestone.
It's amazing. Wow, you are awesome. I don't think you need to prove yourself too much.
I need to put out some more
More
projects
personal.
and
It could be endless appetite.
I want to fill that art station
Yeah.
with nice stuff. Yeah.
I guess I'll end it with this question, my last question. And it's always something I try to ask for with every artist, especially entertainment artists such as ourselves, right? We're not doing art for the sake of art sometimes, or we are being paid for it. What's more important? And you could, maybe this is depending on the situation, is it speed or quality? If you had to pick one, what would it be?
Quality, but
Quality.
this was more speed, this project. But I can create decent, nice stuff with speed also. But I think it would look even better if I really sat down and focused on everything 100%.
You'll
But
be more satisfied with quality.
yeah, I think so.
Your boss will be more satisfied with speed. Get it there. Come on. We gotta ship it. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Well, Daniel, I want to thank you for sitting with me for an hour, and showing me your awesome work. It was definitely, we go through those moments in ArtStation. We click, click, click. You made me pause, right? Looking at your stuff, I was like, "Oh my God, this looks amazing!" I just love how, it's relatable and simple. I think that's where this piece in particular really is striking. It's very textural, right? It feels like, not just textual as if I can just reach out and touch it, but sort of like I feel like I have been here before, you know what I mean? It's very relatable in that way. And I just love how at the same time it's simple and complex. Because you're giving a lot of spacing in how you place things. Like everything was placed pretty methodically, just going through what you were showing us. And but each prop is freaking detailed as hell. Like you sculpt everything, and I definitely feel that when looking at it, just the care that you put into this. And you said this is one of your speed projects. It's like, man, you're insanely fast being able to sculpt everything like that. Usually takes forever. So good work, man. This is
Thank
kind of
you.
my time to kind of shut up. How do people find you? Where can they get in touch with you if they want to follow you? Is it your art station? Is it your Twitter? This is where you can tell them where to best contact you if they want to.
Well, it's Black Odin on ArtStation and on my YouTube, Black Odin Art.
Perfect. All right. Well, we as always, we'll put the links in the description of the podcast and YouTube. And thanks you, man. It was great being able to talk to you and everything. Very
Yeah,
inspiring
thank you.
stuff. Looking
You
forward to the
too.
next stuff.
Yeah.